We don't know what to tell our kids. How are we going to keep our kids happy? And I listen to these parents. Their children are on dope so much. And you know what? Most of those folks don't know where their children are. Mothers come in with their girls like this. And they wail, "I told my daughter that she was seeing too much of that boy. And she wouldn't listen. What'll I do?" Well, you know, you're never going to control your children with your mouth. You just let your children find out that all you do is talk. You'll never guide your children simply on the basis of persuasion. The Bible tells us that we are to train our children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Now, what do we mean by training children? I think, first of all, that means that what your child will be allowed to do is an adult decision, not a child's. And one of the reasons why parents aren't getting very far with their children today is that mother and father cannot agree on how to handle those kids. And across the country, I see mothers and fathers neutralizing each other. Mother says, "You can't go out." Dad says, "Oh, let her go." You see, the family doesn't have a plan. And so mother does her own thing. And dad does his own thing. And dad comes home and he contradicts mother. He doesn't even know what mother has been doing with the children. I've had this happen so many times when I would come home and the kids would come bouncing out of the house into the driveway and saying, "Dad, can I go to that place tonight?" Well, now, how can I answer that in the driveway? But am I not the head of the house? I call the shots, don't I? And since I'm the head of the house, obviously I don't need to collaborate with anybody, do I? You know, when I walk into one of my restaurants and a manager comes up to me and asks me a question, I can't answer that question until I check with the general manager. The president of a company isn't just free to make up his mind on the spot. And yet many a man will do that. And my kids were constantly finding out whether my wife and I were on the same team. And they'd come bouncing out and asking me a question in a driveway. And I cannot answer a question in a driveway until I check with the person who's been in charge all day long. And my children knew that my wife and I collaborated with each other. The fact that you and your partner back each other up, believe me, is a powerful force. And that you carry out your plan, that's a powerful force. But I listen to mothers and fathers saying, "I told them that they shouldn't do it." And you see parents everywhere allowing children to do things that goes against their own judgment. Now, isn't that strange that parents would go against their own judgment? And usually when their children are in trouble and they tell me what they would wish that their children would do, I find that their judgment is good. But they won't go by their own judgment. They'll go by something they read. I was talking to some parents here this week They're talking about a 16-year-old girl. And the 16-year-old girl would say, I'm leaving, and out she goes. And this mother and father, sitting here this morning, they look at each other and say, what are you going to do with her? This little slip of a 16-year-old girl, what are they going to do with her? Sit on her. You know, that man could crack her. And he stands there immobilized. Why? Because his wife won't back him up. That's why. And if one of them would say, you can't go out, the other one would say, leave her alone. And we neutralize each other as parents because we're not on the same team. And if you love your children, you're not going to let your 16-year-old daughter go out into the darkness and do what they please, and you don't even know what they're doing. And I've said to many a parent, if you don't want your son to go out, you get between him and a door. Well, I took my own advice. My son one time, I remember very well, was going out. And said so, and I said he wasn't. And he said he was. And so I did what I advised other people to do. I got between him and a door. So he said he was going to remove me from there. And I looked him over, almost as tall as me, better shape, and he proceeded to remove me from the door. I'll tell you, that kid needed an awful lot of help that night staying home. And by the time I had persuaded him to stay home, we were both pretty well worn out. But listen, I'd rather lose my son fighting for him than I would standing aside and saying, oh, we wished he didn't do it. We decided who our children were going to associate with. I was talking to these same people who are saying, it seems like everybody in our town are hippies. They come in dressed like hippies. What can you do? You can interfere. That's what you can do. Now, don't expect your children to jump up and down with glee. It's up to you to decide who your children are going to associate with. And I would do anything that I needed to do on behalf of my child. This happened, mind you, the basic principle is train up a child in the way that he should go. That is up to you to decide. Remember what I said yesterday? This man and woman with a song on their lips and a melody in their hearts, filled with thanksgiving, who mean to cooperate. That's your power. Now, some of you say, what are you going to do with these kids? They're bigger than I am. They're stronger than I am. Listen, there's all kinds of women in this room right now, and you steer that great big brute of a husband of yours with your influence, and you don't have any trouble. Women aren't afraid of big, strong men. They have ways of controlling them. And if you work that hard to control your children, and the two of you are working together, believe me, it is not physical strength that determines whether you have anything to say to your children. It's your character, and it's your convictions, and it's whether or not the two of you can back each other up. You need to train your children. You know, one time a lady said to me, how do you get your children to do what you want them to do without getting angry at them first? And this was her story. She had a girl maybe 10, 11 years old, and the lady washed dishes, and it was the girl's job to clear the draining boards. She'd wash the milk bottles first, and she wanted the draining board clear so she could wash the rest of the dishes. And when she got the bottles finished, she'd call out to her little girl, the milk bottles are ready, just real nice. nicer than that. And what happened? Nothing. So she'd call out again, "The milk bottles are ready." Nothing happened. "The milk bottles are ready." No child. "Did you hear me? I said the milk bottles are ready." Nothing. She said, "By then I'm getting madder and madder, and I'm ready to wipe my hands on my apron." I go into that living room, and I say, "You get out there and take those milk bottles out on a porch, or you're going to get it, and then she'll go." Now, why do you have to get all worked up like that before your children will do what you ask them to do? So I said to the lady, "I think there's an answer. Why don't you do what I suggest tomorrow? You call out, 'The milk bottles are ready,' and then go after her." And she tried it. And I want to tell you that that was one surprise child. Imagine a parent meaning what they say when they're in a good mood. And that's what your children need. They need a firm, clear directive, and then they need your physical presence to back it up. I've had ladies say to me, "Doc, how do you dress a preschool girl? It takes me a half hour to get a dress on my preschool girl. I beg and plead and explain. I threaten to take her breakfast away. I threaten to take television away. And she won't let me put the dress on." Here's this big lady and this little preschool kid. And she's saying, "Oh, please put the dress on." And I say to the lady, "The quickest way that I know of to get a dress on a preschool child is to stuff her in it." But won't I stunt the child's growth? You know, I was in a home the other day. There was a young child there. And how do you get a child from the kitchen to the dining room? "I want you to go from the kitchen to the dining room," but nothing happens. "Oh, come on, please won't you go from the kitchen to the dining room?" Now, let me explain why I want you to go from the kitchen to the dining room. Now, how's the quickest way to get a preschool child from the kitchen to the dining room? Take them by the hand and march them in. But how do I get them to want to? I haven't got the slightest idea. I am not worried about what they want to do. My job is to see to it that they do what they need to do. And the matter of wanting is a matter of their own relationship to the Lord. And across the years, the Christian education of my child is my responsibility, and I need to expose my child to the truths of the gospel and to expose my child to what human nature is like. And my child will want to do what it should do when it repents before God. In the meantime, it's my job to see to it that it does what it ought to do. I'm not worried about whether my child wants to. Your children need help and persistent supervision. And one of the tragedies today is that you don't know where your 16-year-old kids are. You don't know what they're doing. You say, "Well, how can you be with them all the time? If you can't trust them out of your sight, then don't let them out of your sight." Those are some of the responsibilities today. And some of you are going to rue the day that you gave your children all the freedom that you've given them. What your child should be allowed to do is an adult decision and not a child's. And they'll persistently resist. One illustration of resistance and the importance of supervision. In our house, we had a rule that before you came downstairs, you had to make your bed. And Dick, he'd come bounding down the stairs every morning, it seemed, and Eva, that was Eva's job. My job was to see that Eva saw to it that Dick made that bed. Eva would say, "Dick?" "Yeah." "Did you make your bed?" "Nope." "Well, then go on upstairs and make your bed." Old Dick, he'd plod back upstairs. You know, how long do you have to tell a fella to make his bed before he does it automatically? In our experience, 20 years. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about being long-suffering. You see, long-suffering does not mean inaction. If Campus Crusade is going to maintain its ministry, it is imperative that the administration of Campus Crusade is long-suffering. That means we stick to our guns. That means we stick to our standards. And that means you've got to keep at it and at it and at it and at it. It is not enough to tell people what Campus Crusade stands for. You've got to make sure that it's carried out. How long? As long as you're in it. I often said, if that fella ever got himself a vision, besides resisting our limits. Imagine, that's persistence, you know, 20 years of resistance. Well, you know, he finally did get a vision. His objective during high school was to do as little as possible, and he reached it. His objective in college was to give the college administrators a hard time and to just get by, and he made it. And then all of a sudden, he got another vision. He just couldn't believe it. Straight A's through his master's degree program, straight A's through his PhD program. Same guy. I'm wanting to tell you that you're going to have to hold your kids steady, and it's a 20-year job. And you're going to need to pay a lot of attention to those kids. And I'm saying that your kids need your guidance the most, and they'll need your supervision the most between the ages of 16 and 20. And they're going to need your guidance the most when they want it the least, and they're going to squirm. And if your goal is to keep your kids happy on their terms, believe me, you lose them. The temptations that face your children today are too great for your children to handle. If ever your children needed the guidance of an adult, it's today. And I'm saying that they need it the most. Well, you say, aren't they? When do they learn to use their own judgment? Well, you know, I hire adults in my business, and I don't hire them to use their own judgment. I hire them to carry out a plan. People need supervision all their lives. And you can give your children all kinds of leeway for using their own judgment. But there are boundaries, and those boundaries should be set. For example, when my daughter was in high school, the style was that everybody went steady. So here's my daughter, a senior in high school. All her friends got a boyfriend. And obviously, my daughter wants a boyfriend too. And so she comes up with a boyfriend. And pretty soon, here comes this car pulling up in front of our house. And there's my daughter sitting in this big, wide car. Squoze into a corner, that car, up against him. Hot out. You know, that's one of the most uncomfortable ways you could sit. But there they were. And they'd look at each other, you know, gaze into each other's eyes. Beth came in, I looked at her eyes, I couldn't see anything. You know, you wonder, what was he looking for? And the amazing thing when they got out of the car, he has to lead her to the house. And I say, what happened to Beth? She can't find her way from the curb to the house. And so he helps her into the house. And after a few days, something must have really gone wrong, because he had his arm around her, helping her up to the house. And then they'd sit on the couch. We got this big, long couch. We could have put six couples on that couch. You know, they made me feel like an intruder into my own living room. One day, my son was home from college, and this fellow said that he was coming to visit my son. He was there for breakfast. You know, real camaraderie between him and my son. But somehow he forgot why he was there, because all day he wasn't with my son. He was with my daughter. He was there for lunch. Looked like he was going to stay for supper. I asked Dick, did you invite him? No. Beth didn't invite him. My wife didn't invite him. He was just sort of going to stay. But we decided it was time for a conference. So that night, my wife and I, we had discussed this previously, and we had a plan. And so we had a conference. He could bring her home from school 2 days a week. And we knew how long it took to get home from school. We knew when school left out, and we knew how long it took to get home. And when they got there, she jumps out of the car and runs into the house, and he takes off. When you're sitting on our couch, I want to see some daylight between them. And when they go to church, he doesn't need to hang on to her. She's not going anywhere. Why do kids squeeze into a church pew and hang on to each other? I don't know for sure, but I know what they aren't doing. They aren't worshiping. And they could go out on a weekend if they went in a group and if I knew where they went. Well, of course, Beth's a psychologist kid. She said, well, thank you, Dad. I know that you have my best interests at heart, and you can count on my full cooperation. Do you believe that? No, that's not. Oh, he got mad and she got mad. She was nasty that week. I never saw her in such a mood as that week. And a report started coming back to me that this kid was griping about this Doc Brandt. You know what he said? So we thought it was time for another conference. And I was saying to this fellow, you know, we've never had our daughter as miserable as she was this week. There's got to be something wrong with this relationship. There's nothing wrong with a relationship. It's just you. Oh, it's me. Yeah. And if this is love, and if that's what love does to Beth, then we better break it up. Do you like our daughter? Yeah, we like you. I sure do like your daughter. Now, isn't it amazing that I'm her father? This wonderful girl, do you think that all of a sudden I've become her enemy? Now, look, if you want to date my girl, you better get happy real fast. We're just not going to put up with his long face, and Beth better get happy real fast. You know, they got happy real fast. But you know what she said to me? Don't you trust me, Dad? And I said, no. You know, some of your daughters say to you, oh, Mother, you don't need to worry about me. When I walk arm in arm with my boyfriend and he holds me by the hand and we cuddle up, there's nothing going on inside of me, Mother. You don't need to worry. Are you kidding? And you know, a lot of you mothers, you just love to believe that your daughters don't have any response. What do you suppose happens when you put one of these red-blooded young men together with your beautiful daughter? Do you have any idea? Well, let me explain it to you. Listen, your children need help. and they need your guidance. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a real nice man. And if you aren't, you're really not qualified to work together with your wife. A man with a song on his lips and a melody in his heart, filled with thanksgiving, who means to cooperate with his wife. And I'm talking about that kind of a woman. And I'm talking about these two people sitting down and developing a plan for guiding their children into becoming as wholesome adults as you are. And really all it amounts to is follow me. And I am not going to sit by and watch my kids go down the drain without a fight. You can if you want to. I'm not. And I'll do anything that I need to do in order to hold my children steady. And that's what we did, and I want to tell you it paid off. And I've advised hundreds of families, and the people who don't do it lose their kids. And the people who do what they need to do in order to guide them see their children follow after their parents. Now, you've got to make some choices here, don't you? You need a plan. And I can't think of anything any more crucial or any more important than that you do what you need to do in order to guide your children in the way that you think they should go. Now, I'm talking about a plan that you and your wife are committed to. It's your adult judgment. Don't let anybody talk you out of the idea that as an adult who's lived 40 or 50 years that you don't have any contribution to make to your children. One of the most ridiculous things that I can think of is to take your advice from your children. You should have learned something in the last 40 years that is of benefit to your children. You know, it's Bill Bright's responsibility to see to it that we stay on course in Campus Crusade. And it's your responsibility to see to it that your children stay on course. And let me urge you to do anything you need to do to make that happen. Well, thank you.